Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning on this November Sunday, first Sunday in November. We officially start the standard daytime, I think, right? Standard, Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah.
And finished with the daylight savings time. So our clocks have been turned back 1 hour. And also it reminds me of our seasons passing so quickly. And we'll do that again in spring. More going forward, this keeps happening back and forth every year. And as the songwriter that we usually sing, the famous song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, he says in that summer and winter and springtime and harvest, join with all in nature in manifold witness to the great faithfulness of... Thank you. For the great faithfulness of God. And thanks be to God for his faithfulness that he gave us one more day to live in this world. One more season in our life that we can enjoy in this world to be a blessing. So let us be thankful for what he has done in our lives. That he saved his own, he sent his own son to die for us so we can have eternity with him. Today is also All Saints Sunday. We'll have a special time to remember our dear ones who have finished their race and went on to eternity with the Lord. This is a year, time of the year that we all... remember their life with us and the testimony of for them that they had done for the kingdom of God. We remember and honor them today. So we'll have a special prayer time for that, and we will light some candles when we call out the names. Also, we used to have a bell.
It's still there.
Yeah, come and get it. Yeah. Yeah, we'll get that bell. So we'll ring the bell, and please come and light up the candle as you call out the numbers. It is not a Sunday that we honor any saints. It is called All Saints Sunday. And but it doesn't mean that we have any saints. We don't pray to the saints. We don't have anybody other than Jesus Christ as our mediator between God and man. That's what we believe, and that's what Scripture teaches. We don't honor anybody as a saint after their death. But this is a time to remember the ones who led their lives before us and examples that we could follow. It's an opportunity to give thanks for all those who have gone before us in the faith. And the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We read that in Psalm 116. So we remember them today. Please take the time to remember and honor them. And also, we will be celebrating Holy Communion with the Hispanic Church today. So at that time, please come and join. The table is open for all. Thanks for joining here and also online today for worship today. And the announcements are listed in the back of the second page in the bulletin. Our food bank ministry continues, and please donate in cash or in kind. The books can also be purchased that will benefit our mission work. And our third Thursday luncheon will be in November 20, Thursday at 1 p.m. at Golden Corral for a time of lunch and fellowship. So please come and join for that time. Thank you for your continued and faithful support in the ministries of this church by your prayers, presence, gift, service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. We accept donations on our websites. Please use those opportunities as you may please, and avail the various ways that you can donate to the church. Those are the announcements that I have. I don't have anything else. Anybody have any other announcements to? If not, we'll continue worshiping God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 451, Be Thou by My Vision. It will be also on the screen.
Thou my
Please be seated. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for this beautiful time that you have given us to gather in your name once again as your children to worship you. Lord, you, in your great mercy, have gathered us into your church because of your mercy toward us and not because of our works. And we thank you for all of those who have gone before us and finished their race. Today we remember those who brightened this earth by your prayers and by the way they walked in the light of God. We honor the memories of those who have fought the good fight and finished the race and whose shoulders we stand on. We remember those Christians of every time and place, those who lived faithfully and shared their faith towards us. We thank you for their lives and of those who have died for their faith in Jesus Christ, paying the ultimate sacrifice for their witness. We thank you for their witness and testimony among us, our Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, preachers, Bible study leaders, many, many others who served in many different ways to help us and guide us, ordinary people who have shown your love and inspired us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for these people that have introduced us to you and encouraged us to keep walking our pilgrim path in this world. Lord, we come before you as your children to worship you. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit with all the saints in this world and angels in heaven. May your presence fill our hearts with the peace and the joy and the gratefulness that we have towards you, O God. Lift your name up so that we can honor you, and let your people be blessed in all the singing we do, the prayers we make, and the meditation of the word. Honor and glory to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now it's our greeting time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other.
Our congregation choice today
Norman.
Is Red Book, page 260. Now, no one in the choir knew it. Now, I just asked Linda, she knows it. But I don't know if it was requested by Linda, Jean, or Lou, but one of those. It's entitled, I'm on the Battlefield, Please Stand. Now, choir knows it now. We went over it this morning.
And it's on the screen, so the words are on the screen as well.
Yeah. of my Lord, and I promised him that I would serve him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
That's great.
Good job.
That's fun. We'll have to do that one again this
week. We're done good.
Now we can, we're actually doing the, James, there's a thing that says special. That's the next thing we need to see because it's the...
Yeah, I'll bring it up.
Do you want to read it as a leader?
Mm-hmm. I thought he was doing that. That's what he, wait, what?
Do you want to?
Yeah, that's the one. The Litany of Remembrance and Praise, All Saints Remembrance Sunday. You may remain seated. We'll have a prayer first, and you will respond, "We praise you, O God," as the time comes. And then we will call out the names at the end of the prayer. For those who have died before us, you come and honor their name by calling their name and then lighting the candle here. I will help you there if you need help with lighting the candle. Did you get the bell?
The bell, there's a bell right here, isn't there?
Yeah,
that's a little bell.
Yeah. That's what it's for. So we will go this responsively, the prayer that we have for Litany of Remembrance of Praise for the All Saints Remembrance Sunday. God of the ages, we praise you for all your servants who have done justice, loved mercy, and walked humbly with their God. For apostles and martyrs and saints of every time and place who in life and death have witnessed to your truth.
We praise you, O God.
For all your servants who have faithfully served you, witnessed bravely, and died in faith, who still are shining lights in the world.
We praise you, O God.
For those no longer remembered, who earnestly sought you in darkness, who held fast their faith in trial and served others.
We praise you, O God.
For those we have known and loved, who by their faithful obedience and steadfast hope have shown the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, and especially for those members of this church who have finished their race and now are at rest with you.
We praise you, O God.
Now the next one is, we remember, O God, the countless saints of history who have blazed a trail of courage through time.
We remember, O God.
The tender touch of loved ones, the example of heroes, the healing words of comforters, the remarkable acts of fearless ones.
We remember, O God.
The gentle strength of grandmothers, the loyalty of friends, the kindness of strangers, the joy of children, the sacrifice of parents.
We remember, O God.
The supreme love of Jesus, the blessing of his Spirit, the reminder of his words, the sharing of his suffering, the glory of his resurrection, shown forth in the lives of his disciples, young and old, dead and living, articulate and silent, strange and familiar, brilliant and ordinary.
We remember.
We remember in every time and place the saints of God who have shown us the Lord.
We remember.
Now, we light these candles and ring the bell in remembrance of each of those who have gone ahead before us and who can now only be held in our memory and are forever joyfully held in your embrace, O God. We remember the following dear ones who are close to our hearts today. So we'll call out the names, and if you may, please come and light a candle during the time, and you can call out the names. I'll start with mine. My dad, K.M. Philip, who died in 2018, honoring his name. Anybody else want to come and light the candle?
My cousin Guillermo Rives, almost 2 years.
Anybody else? That's it. Okay, let us pray together. The final prayer. Jace, you can scroll it up a little bit. Let us pray this prayer together. Keep us grateful for their witness and like them, eager to follow in the way of Christ. Then at last, bring us with them to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Through Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Now we'll take this time for our prayer, where we share our concerns and blessings. We share our blessings first, and we'll thank God for all the blessings that we have in our lives. And also we will share our burdens and concerns, and we'll lift them up to the throne of grace of God, that God will answer our prayers according to His time and His will. The regular prayer requests are at the back of the bulletin in the boxes listed there. Please remember these people and these items in your prayers every day, in your regular prayers. Pray for Jean McPrayer, Grace Haynes, Harry Basil, Carol Clements, Eden Bartolo, Jerry Raines, Sean and Amy Conway, Harry Crumlin. Also pray for Pam, Lisa's mom, who is recovering from hip surgery. She's getting much better, but she still has a lot of pain. Please remember her in our prayers, and also pray for all the family members to have peace during this time. Let us pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many others who serve us on a daily basis. God will give them the grace to do their work. Every day that they are serving us, let us be thankful for their work and lift them up to the throne of grace of God. Let us pray for our nation, our president, vice president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who make decisions, that they will be guided by the wisdom of God every day, especially during this shutdown. They will come to a reasonable decision and resolve the issues and open everything up. God will give them the right wisdom to make their decisions. So also pray for world leaders and world peace, that they will fear God when they make decisions that will bring peace to this world. And also pray for our church, that God has given us in this community to serve here at this time of history, to do His work faithfully, to serve others who are in need. And also all the churches in this area, and the pastors and leaders of the churches, and also the world church at large around the world, that God will give them the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work in the situations that they are in. Those are the announcements that I have. Those are the prayer requests that I have to share with you. Are there any other prayer requests to call out? If not, we'll go to God in prayer, spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then we'll close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. Scripture says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save us, nor his ear too dull to hear us. Loving and merciful God, we thank you for always being there listening to each of our prayers. We thank you for your mercy and grace and patience with us, even when we falter and fail. You would not leave us and forsake us, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness in our lives every day of the year. We thank you for the gift of life along with all the joys and blessings that you give us, O God. Thank you for covering us with your love and protection even when we are not aware of it. We look up to you for our needs and our burdens also, O God. You are the source of all good things and you desire only good for us. And we seek your presence and raise our burdens and concerns to you. Many of us are broken in many different ways. A lot of us need healing in our bodies, Lord. We thank you for the continued healing that you have been providing to your dear ones, especially the ones that we have named here. Pray for Jean McBrayer and Grace Haynes, Harry Basil, Carol Clements, Ed and Bartolo, Jerry Raines, Sean and Amy Conway, Harry Crumlin, and Pam. Be with them during this time of their sickness, O God. Continue to give them your healing and touch them with your healing hand. Above all, we pray for giving them peace during this time. Bless their families also with peace at this time. We thank you for your presence there at this time as we are praying. Comfort them with your presence, O God. Especially the ones who are going through pain. Give them the grace to go through this pain during this time of healing. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many others who serve us on a daily basis, and we are thankful for their services, O God. Help us, Lord, to always remember them gratefully, and we remember them now in our prayers. And also we pray that you'll give them the grace to do their work every day, and pray for their families also for their safety. We pray for our nation, our president, vice president, leaders of the Congress and governors, and many, many others who make decisions that affect our daily lives. We pray for your grace upon them and give them the wisdom to make the right decisions, especially during this crisis with our government shut down. We pray that you will intervene and give them the wisdom to make the right choices and decisions that we can move forward. We pray for the world leaders also as they make decisions. They will fear God and bring peace to this world with their decisions. Bless them with your grace, O God. We pray for our church and thank you for this community that you have given us to serve. Help us, Lord, to be faithful and always caring and compassionate to the ones who are in need. And help us, Lord, to do your work as long as we can with the resources that you have given us, O God. Help us to worship with all the churches in this community and to serve this community together. We pray for all the churches and pastors and leaders around this area and also the world church at large that you will empower the people who work in your vineyard with the power of the Holy Spirit, that their work will be fruitful, bringing millions of souls to the kingdom of God. We thank you again for your presence in our midst as we come before you, your word, and the Lord's table today. Bless us in a special way, O God. Strengthen us with your spirit so that we can be more powerful witnesses for you wherever you place us. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come and take up the offertory. I wanted to acknowledge the Pleasant Grove Baptist Church, who sent us $250 this year, as they do every year, as part of a commitment from an unknown person who donates about $12,000 every year to distribute to the churches around this area. So we got $250.
Please stand for the doxology.
Oh.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day and allowing us to gather here, and thank you that everything we have comes from you. So we pray that our giving back this offering, that you can bless this offering and bless it for your use, and please keep us mindful of the needs of others. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading today, which comes from James chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says, without reason, that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in you, in us, but he gives us more grace? That is why the Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves, then, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, and the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word that you have given us in our lives in this world to be life and spirit when we live out our lives here. As we come before your word, O God, open our hearts and our minds to receive your word with humility and obedience. Illumine our souls so that we can understand the meaning of the message we hear from you. Speak to each and every one of us according to our needs of our lives. Touch us with your power of the Holy Spirit today, Lord, so that we can be empowered by the power of Holy Spirit and the Word as we go from this place. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue with the study of the epistles or the letters of apostles, and we are in the letter of James that we just read in the fourth chapter. We finished the first three chapters in the previous Sundays, and we are coming to the close of the book of James. It's just five chapters. We'll finish it up next week. He is giving us practical wisdom to live. Advices of practical wisdom to live out our lives as in a Christian path. In the beginning, we talked about faith without works is dead. That's what his basic theme is. We have to show our faith through our works. Then we talked about how our actions display our witness to the Lord. Also, he talked about our tongue, not only actions but also our words. Display who we are, and our actions and our words are very important, and we talked about that in previous Sundays. Here he's talking about the divisions that we have as people when we live together as a community. It happens everywhere, not just in church, not just in social gatherings. It happens in politics a lot. We have quarrels and fights everywhere in every aspect of our life. Even in our homes, families, we have quarrels and fights. What causes fights and quarrels among you? That's what he's asking in this first chapter, first verse. What is the cause of quarrels and divisions and fights? So when we look at the reasons of, or the source of the quarrels and fights, many times we refuse to look at ourselves first. That's what basically he's telling you. They come from desires of battles within us. It is all the time when we have some issues with somebody, it's the other person's fault. Am I right? It is always the other person's fault. If you're an accident, it's always the other person's fault. And if you have some problems with your life, and a drug addict or a smoker or somebody, you blame it on your parents. Oh, my parents were alcohol users or drug addicts. So you become like a victim of circumstances. Or even when you go to work, some of the funny things that I heard and read about people's excuses. That a guy arrived late for work, and he said, "I am late for my work because the coffee maker was slow." So blame it on the coffee maker. A guy used to work, used to come to work every day late. He came to work late every day. So one day his boss stopped him and said, "Do you know what time do we work? We start work here?" He replied, "No, sir, they are all at work when I get here." So it's always the other person's fault, right? Such people are called blame shifters. I mean, I am part of that too. I don't know about you. Try to find a scapegoat so that you don't feel that you are responsible for what happened. Like I told you, the accidents happen all the time on the streets, and some of the funny things that people told their attorneys, I read that some of the lists, and it's very, very funny, some of them. The telephone pole was approaching me so fast, I attempted to serve, but it hit me anyway. And the guy was all over the road. I had to swerve around a number of times before I hit him again. So these are the things that people try to deflect the responsibilities that are coming on us. And you always know the famous saying, "The devil made me do it." The devil made me do it. I think you have heard it before. It did not start recently. This started in the Garden of Eden. Right from the beginning of creation, when God made man and woman and placed them in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it, to be in love with God, the devil came there in the form of a serpent. And then you know the story, they ate the forbidden fruit because the devil tempted them and they lost in it, and the woman ate first. But when God came and questioned them, "Adam, why did you do that?" He questioned Adam first. And then Adam said, "The woman you gave me made do it." And then the woman said, "The serpent made me do it." So this is what "the devil made me do it" started from. None of us wants to take any responsibility for anything bad around us. So that is what James is saying. Our causes of fights and quarrels and the divisions are among us are not coming from the outside. It's coming from the inside of us. When we refuse to take responsibilities for our situations in our lives, and try to blame it on other people outside, you are deflecting the problem. You are running away from the problem. And when I started working on this message, I always thought about the forest, like the animal kingdom. You know how these animals live in the forest? Some of them kill the other ones for food. But they have a system in place where they live harmoniously, believe it or not. Otherwise, none of them would be alive. They have a system there. They don't hate each other. The lion doesn't hate the deer. He kills it for food, and when he's full, he doesn't care. Or one tree doesn't hate the other tree because he's more beautiful. Like human beings. We don't do that, right? We hate somebody else because they're just being so a little bit more beautiful than I am. or a little more wealthier than I am. Or he says some more other things that I don't have, so I hate him. But the animals or trees, they don't do that. The whole ecosystem outside of human beings have their own system. They respect each other. They care for each other. The trees in some of the forests, they have their roots. Even though they don't know each other, their roots know each other. They intertwine at the bottom of the soil so that when the big storm comes, they'll be held together by the roots. That's the reality in the forest system. So I looked at it a little bit and said, God created everything so beautifully, and they're all working the way exactly God wanted it to work. Except God made us in his own image and gave us the freedom to do our own will, and we messed it up. That's what all the causes of the division and the quarrels are. The forest teaches us a lesson of coexistence. It's not competition alone, but it's about connection. We need each other. We need to connect with each other. Harmony is possible when we learn to live with one another just as the animals do in the forest. It's a harmonious system of give and take. It's also mutual relationships. Like I told you, the animals don't hate each other. Everything in nature knows its place, its purpose, and its peaceful existence. But when it comes to humans, we often find chaos, conflict, destruction. Even the other systems are thriving in unity, we are dividing ourselves in divisions and fights and quarrels. Why is it so? Mark Twain said, I think I have said this before, I built a cage and I put in a dog and a cat together. After a little training, I got the dog and the cat to the point where they lived peaceably together. Then I introduced a pig, a goat, a kangaroo, some birds, and a monkey. After a few adjustments, they learned to live in harmony together. So encouraged was I that I decided to add two humans into the cage. And in a very short time, there was not a single living thing left in the cage. It was a joke that Mark Twain said. We know how to mess up things that are beautifully set up, don't we? A good family can be beautifully torn apart by one person. It's mostly from the inside. So we have to look at our inside to see why these things are happening, that God wanted us to be peaceful, loving and caring and compassionate people, beautifully made in the image of God, to live peaceably together. We cannot do that. Fights and quarrels and wars, killing millions and millions of people, even now. When are we going to get out of this? Until we find ourselves to be at peace with ourselves. Look in the inside and see, what is my role in these divisions that are happening? We have hatred towards each other, terrorism and fears, murders, all symptoms of a deeper disease within our heart. That is the sin and the loss of love that we lost because of the sin that we have. So James gives us a bold answer here that the problem is not outside, it is often inside. When God created everything, remember that somebody interestingly said this, God rested after every creation because it was beautiful. That's what we read in the Bible. God created the heaven and the earth and he saw it was beautiful. The first day he rested. Then the second day he created the animals and all the other stuff, the fish of the sea and all. Then he rested. He rested every after every creation. That's what we read in the Bible. Then he created Adam by his own hand. And then he rested. Then later on, then he created Eve, and he never rested since. That's what happened, right? God gave us a partner to live with, to harmoniously live together, and the whole thing changed. Because God intended us to be living together as one body, Adam and Eve, They violated God's principles, and then the creation is now cursed because of that. So God has not given us hope from us. He gave us his love and care and compassion again through his Son, sending his Son to redeem us from this situation. So James doesn't point out that it is hopeless, but he is saying that there is hope beyond that, because God doesn't forsake us in our situation. And marriage is a wonderful thing that God has given us, another example, that we have to harmoniously live together for the rest of our lives. Is that what happens? More than 50% end up in divorce. It is because we cannot get along with each other. We cannot take and give respect. I just read that if you lose first marriage, usually you will end up in three. I don't know if it's true or not. First marriage is 43% failure. Second marriage is 60% failure. And third marriage is 73% failure. So I think it is better to stop after one, isn't it? Because the failure rate is getting higher and higher as you go. Where is the problem? Is it that person, other person, or is it yourself? I think it is yourself. If you can stick with one in the first, it's probably going to be following you wherever you go. I'm not condemning or, you know, saying something wrong with anybody. But that's what happens in our lives. And good for those marriages that are lasting, regardless of first or second or third. But thank God for those marriages that are lasting. We have become a selfish generation, extremely intolerant of each other. For anyone to abandon a partner in the dark hours of their lives when they are sick or a terminal illness, that's not even animals don't do that. Otherwise, we are married for the sake of our selfishness. Then the marriage is going to be failure. In sickness and or in health, for rich or poor, for better or worse, till death do us part. That's what we pledge at the time of our marriage. So many reasons people come up with for divorces, and I don't want to go into all of that. So very simple things. The husband got a promotion, had to be moving. And that's recently happened. The wife filed for divorce. Then simple things that they list, very simple things that we could adjust with each other. When we don't take these things with the value that they deserve, our society is going to be in trouble. The source of conflict is our self-desires also. As we come through the next verse, it is among the desires that battle within us. There are so many desires in us that is battling us. Quarrel and fight are happening because of that. The root problem also again is, he's talking about, you desire and do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? So that is where the problem is. The friendship with the world comes first. That sounds harsh, but it is the truth spoken in love by James. He uses the image of spiritual adultery to show that when we chase worldly desires, power, pride, pleasure, possessions, we are being unfaithful to God. And when we become unfaithful to God, we become unfaithful to each other. God's standard is completely opposite to the world's standard. The world says, exalt yourselves. Earn as much as you can, and greed fills you. But God says, humble yourselves, and God will lift you up. Then the cure of the problem is humility before God and enmity to the world. We need to consider our love toward God more than our love towards the world and humble ourselves before God. It is not about winning an argument or proving the other person's wrong. It is always to be humble before God and others. When we draw near to God, He softens our hearts. When we confess our sins, He will cleanse us from all of our sins. When we humble ourselves, He will restore us. Humility will turn division into reconciliation. Submission turns chaos into peace. Repentance turns distance into closeness. And the path forward is to be humble before God and others. When our desires turn selfish, when pride rules our compassion, when power replaces purpose, the harmony God intended is broken. There's a story of two brothers who grew up together, very close brothers, loved each other as they were growing together. They were growing together in a farm, a big farm. And when they grew up and the parents died, they got married and they had their own family. Still they lived together in the same house, a bigger house that they built. Two brothers and their families harmoniously lived together. But eventually, one day a small argument, a misunderstanding, grew between the wives of these brothers. And it was escalated to the husbands, the brothers. And harsh words were spoken and brothers stopped speaking to each other. One morning, the older brother found a carpenter. And he brought the carpenter and told him that I am going to build me a house on the other side of our land and build a fence between us so we can move on to our lives with the rest of the time without speaking to each other. But the carpenter knew exactly this family's situation and the history. He built the fence and built the house for him. But also he did, before he finished, he built a bridge across the two houses as part of his work. And the younger brother saw that the older brother's carpenter not only built a new house, but also built a brother. He said, my brother still loves me. So that became a story of how we can restore ourselves with humility. And the younger brother came and embraced the older brother. It is not about bridges that we need to build, about fences that we need to build. It's about bridges that we need to build so that we can restore our relationships. A lot of times we talk about fences, right? Even now. Sometimes we need fences. But at the same time, bridges are more important. We need more bridges than fences. The psalmist says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. And Paul teaches us in Colossians, clothe yourselves with the love which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And the peace of Christ will rule your hearts, to which you indeed were called to be one body. So let us look into ourselves and see where we need to be humble before others, to show the love that we need to our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors. There is no place for hatred in a Christian faith. We are to love everyone, even the enemies. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place to show His love and care and compassion, and humble before God and humble before others, so that we can have a harmonious and peaceful society as we live. It's our communion time now. You can follow me with the laminated sheets you can find at the pews. Please follow the laminated sheets you can find on the pews. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy,
holy, holy Lord, God of our heaven. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night to which he gave himself for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you, for many, and forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in your remembrance of this, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and drink. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, our honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Now the ushers may come and lead to the table. It's an open table. All are invited to come and join the Lord's table. Let us be thankful for this Holy Communion, the Lord's table, where we unite together in one spirit, as one body, as children of God. Let us pray. Eternal and almighty God, merciful and gracious you are. We thank you that you have joined us in this sacrament, uniting us with Christ, and with all the faithful ones who have come before us. We give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. May we remember that we belong to you and that you lead us into the newness of life. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Pastor Nelson.
Señor mi Dios, le damos gracias en esta preciosa tarde por ser nuestro Dios. Gracias por lo bueno y lo misericordioso que está con nosotros. Permitirnos, mi Dios, recordar esta Santa Cena, que usted nos dejó un mandamiento de que tenemos que recordar y que un día, mi Dios, estaremos delante de su presencia tomando su Santa Cena, representando su muerte y su resurrección. Nos ponemos en tus manos en el nombre de Cristo Jesús. Amén.
Amén. Our closing hymn is Trust and Obey, 467 in the blue book. It will be also on the screen. If you are able, please stand. Of our troubles and problems, He is trying to unite us together in His love. Our desires will have to be surrendered to the will of God, and may the grace of God bless us each day as we live in unity and harmony together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.